now we'll have essentially a teaser for the last segment today on The Spark. Charlottesville's Eve Waters is a singer, a storyteller, and a harpist. I guess the obvious question is, why the harp?
Well, people often say that, but that's the hardest thing to answer because it just came along on my path. And of course, as one of 12 or so instruments that I've learned to play, it's just the one that I have put more time into and stuck with longer and tried to be more expert, you know, playing the banjo and things. I was very happy just to be able to accompany my songs and have fun learning things and plink along with this and that. And the numerous other instruments I've tried to play. I love them all.
My grandpa had some very fine ducks in the merry green fields in the lowlands, with a quack quack here and a quack quack there, here a quack, there a quack, every now and then a quack. Hey, bonny lassie, won't you go with me to the merry green fields in the lowlands? My grandpa had a very fine horse in the merry green fields in the lowlands, with a nay-nay here and a nay-nay there, here a nay, there a nay, every now and then a nay. Hey, bonny lassie, won't you go with me to the merry green fields in the lowlands? My grandpa had some very fine kids in the merry green fields in the lowlands, with a hug-hug here and a hug-hug there, here a hug, there a hug, every now and then a hug. Hey, bonny lassie, won't you go with me to the merry green fields in the lowlands?
But harp, really, there's some mystical connection. And anybody you run into that plays the harp, especially who's taken it up as an adult, will probably tell you the same thing, that there's some mystical attraction. You know, it's an ancient instrument found in almost every part of the world and almost every culture. And there's a lot of history there.
With more conversation with and music from Eve Waters. This is The Spark. Back before the break, we got just a taste of the versatile Eve Waters' music-making talents. Her story is a tough one of personal salvation through music.
Someone lent my children when we were in the drug-crazed hippie days, you know, poor people, single mother. Someone lent my children a little zither, a toy zither, really. A zither is in the harp family, but the strings are parallel to the soundboard. Yeah, where harps, they're perpendicular. They're cousins. And my kids didn't really play it, but I did. And I had so much fun, and that mystical feeling came over me then, and I...
With a toy zither.
Yeah, and I was picking out tunes, and I thought, I get it. With a harp, you can get your hands around both sides, and that would be so great. So 15 years after that, I had the chance to buy a very poorly constructed secondhand one. And
harp.
Yep, and then it all started.
Let's back up. Were you musical when you met the harp? Were you a practicing musician?
Yeah. Well, see... I was a troublesome child who had a troubled childhood. Yeah, most people can relate to that. Although most people managed to hide it a lot better than me. And I was a girl, and it was in the 50s, and I could read. And they hadn't invented all the learning disabilities then. And if you could read and you were a well-behaved, quiet girl, because you were too cowardly to speak your mind... You couldn't possibly have a learning disability. There, you must need to be beaten daily, you were just deficient.
Literally?
No. No, but there was a violent atmosphere in my really lovely home of really lovely people. But it was the 50s. They were conflicted. And it was a hard time for smart mothers to be at home, you know? Mm-hmm. I have yet to discover what that was all about, what my fate was, because I was just always a different kind of person. There's a lot of things that other people can do that I can't do very well. And there's a lot of things that are just second nature to me, and I don't know why the rest of the world can't do them or see them or hear them. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that all means.
You have a different drummer going
on. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I sure do. So I was just sort of squeaking by in life until at age 13, I wangled myself a birthday gift of a guitar.
Do you remember what kind?
Yes, it was a Gibson. Worth a fortune now, I'm sure.
Wow.
And it met a very sad fate. I was sort of cheated out of that instrument along the way. But anyway, I did manage...
Can you tell the story? Don't leave us hanging with a story like that. Or is it not a tellable story?
It won't make people feel very good. But I was married to somebody who treated me the way I allowed him to treat me. And we were drug-crazed hippies. And I didn't, you know, what's mine is his and what's his is his. That's the kind of family
guitar,
I lived in.
Your lovely Gibson was a casualty.
That's right. That's okay. Exactly right. That was ages ago, of course, when I lived in England. So, I'm not going to cry.
You're going to laugh instead.
I am, because the huge turning point of my life was age 13. Teaching myself to play guitar and finding out for the first time that I could learn things, because I didn't know that. I was just getting by in school, and the world of adults couldn't see how much I didn't understand, how I was going to manage to grow up, how I couldn't do things.
Where was this?
New York State.
Okay.
Little village, commuting distance of New York City, on the Hudson River, the mighty Hudson. And I also found out then that I could learn things if I altered the instruction to suit my learning style and my learning speed. And that was such a huge empowerment. And I...
Did you learn that with the guitar?
Yep. And then I taught myself to play the autoharp and the dulcimer and the five-string banjo. And I had been working already. I was working hard to... get out of that house and buy records. And
as a teenager.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. And then to buy instruments. My first job I had when I was 11. I really took it seriously too.
What was it?
It was in the summertime, minding a cooperative daycare group. You know, the moms all put the kids to a different house and they hired me to look after the kids all afternoon. But I took it really seriously because I love kids and I knew all these great songs that we could do together.
My ship sailed from China with a cargo of tea, all laden with presents for you and for me. They brought me a fan, just imagine my bliss as I fan the cool breezes like this, like this, like this, like this. My ship sailed from China with a cargo of tea, all laden with presents.
on your six or seven instruments.
I had two or three guitar lessons, including one at age 15 with James Taylor.
Get
on Martha's
out.
Vineyard. Yep.
How did that go?
It was fabulous. Well, it sure wasn't James Taylor then, you know. He was Jamie. I was there as a children's nanny for the summer, and he was sent as a replacement for lesson number two for the guy that I did hire from the little card at the coffee house wall. He was adorable. He was like just a little older than me, but he's just so grown up, you know. And he played so nicely, and he was sweet as could be. And I got to see him again in New York City when I lived there, and he still remembered me. He was recording in the studio with his band at the time.
And he remembered you.
Yes, he did. Or he claimed.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you've got a friend.
in New York City, you're working as a children's nanny, and you're obsessed with learning different instruments? Is that too strong?
No, you know, it's really singing for me.
Singing.
It's the Appalachian, the ballads. I wasn't listening to Joan Baez, not for long. I was listening to the source material, who were still around then. There were still these brave people coming down to Virginia, amongst other places, and finding people, our neighbors in the valley and over near Charlottesville, who were still remembering the old, old songs and sang them in the old, old style, which still completely blows me away, that people still have that personal artistry.
This is a lot to ask just off the cuff, but can you cut loose with an example of what you mean?
Sure. I should be able to. Well, hang on a sec. Here's one that was collected almost 100 years ago. On the way here, I just drove past the location where it was sung for Mr. Cecil Sharp. It was sung by Mrs. Fitzgerald at the Royal Orchard. The cuckoo, she's a pretty bird. She sings as she flies. She brings us glad tidings. She tells us no lies. She sucks on pretty flowers to make her voice clear. And she never sings cuckoo till the summer is here.
If you met somebody for the first time, and it was important that they understand who you are and what you do, and you just stick out your hand and say, I'm Eve Waters, and I...
You know, I'm sorry to tell you, Martha, that that's a big issue for me at the moment. I'm going through yet another stage of major reinvention, you know. And I'm a freelancer and a free spirit, perhaps, and I'm used to that.
You've always been mainly a freelancer, haven't
yes,
you?
Yes, I have, because I'm somewhat unemployable otherwise. And I'm trying to gear up for yet another iteration of it. I've been doing, for instance, the therapeutic music at University of Virginia Hospital as a musician in residence for more than 10 years. And I've just left that position for the time being. And or forever, I don't know. And I love it, but it just, the shoes weren't fitting right anymore. And I've been doing lots of weddings and just harp music, sort of anonymous harp music for quite a while. It's sort of my day job, and I've cut back on that. I want to do more art making, and I want to be able to find better and better, fresher, more genuine ways to bring music in the world, to touch people even more effectively. I know I've done it in the past, but creating a moment, being in so centered in a moment that it immediately invites other people to be centered in the moment. That's kind of what I'm working on. So I don't know. The best thing I do when I meet people is try to be centered in the moment. It's pretty hard.
Touché. The central theme of your life since you were 13 and got
yes.
that guitar, how has your relationship with music grown and changed over the decades?
Well, I've had the chance to be in other cultures and pick up music there. I've had the chance to listen lots more. I had 7 to 10 years doing radio, and I could feast on all kinds of other people's music collections. And living in Charlottesville and being the mother of a child I was trying to share all these rich experiences with, I've gotten to hear lots of live performance. And I've also learned a lot from being a performer and being under the pressure that a single mother is under and just having to work and like it. I learn from audiences all the time. They're always pointing me to great new jokes or great new songs that I have to learn. And I know much more classical music than ever before. It's just age, you know? You get more chances to be around, and I've learned to improvise.
In what way?
Well,
in all ways.
Yes. Well, the music improvisation definitely carries over to other areas of life. I'm very grateful for that. That's well worth it. And I'm hoping to find ways to be helpful in extending that to other people. Clever people who are much more trainable than I am and who have amassed a lot of musical education and are looking for ways to free up their expression a little bit.
How did this storytelling come about?
Oh, same kind of thing. I was, I did some college at Piedmont, Virginia Community College, and also the Mary Baldwin Adult Degree Program. At that time at Mary Baldwin, you could design your own courses. And I was trying to, again, cooperate with my own learning style and my own rhythm and make it work for me. My daughter's 8-year-old fascination with storytelling performances that we attended was noticeable to me. She just locked into it, and it seemed very good for her. So an opportunity came through the grapevine to make college course project of producing the Charlottesville Festival of Storytelling, that little mini thing that we had. And I thought, oh yeah, I can't be doing the touring I'd like to do at this time with my daughter, so I'll learn about arts management and producing. And I was doing the radio stuff. And so I just got saturated in storytelling. And after a couple of years of that, with my successful marketing of this festival, people started saying to me, oh, you, Eve, I've heard of you. You're the storyteller. And I'd start to explain, no, I'm not. And then I thought, oh, yeah, well, they'll pay me to do it. I could be a storyteller. And I did that for about a year. And I did a reasonable job combining stories and songs. And one day, it was at McGuffey Arts Center. I was invited to do some children's entertainment for their Christmas party. And I was telling a story I'd told before, and something completely popped. And I stopped just telling the story, and I started inhabiting the story. And all kinds of visual imagery and word imagery came to me that I just got into a new dimension of it. And then I thought, oh, that's what being a storyteller is.
Long, long ago, and far, far away, there lived a wise and powerful king. And for many years he ruled the land. The people were happy and prosperous and contented.
And so the youngest brother became
the king. But as the years went by,
and the last time I went through that land, he was doing a wonderful job.
Have you enjoyed yourself?
Well, yes. I get to have intense pleasures that are available to anybody, it would seem to me, but most people deny themselves. So, yeah, I don't need to watch football, and I don't need to drink coffee, and there's a lot of things I'm free of. I've never even consumed an entire can of soda. I'm pretty glad about that.
Oh, roll the rattling bog down in the valley, oh. Oh, roll the rattling bog down in the valley, oh. And in that bog there was a tree, a rare tree, a rattlin' tree. Tree in the bog down in the valley, oh. Ho, roll the rattlin' bog down in the valley, oh. Ho, roll the rattlin' bog down in the valley, oh. And on that tree there was a bough, a rare bough, a rattlin' bough on the tree in the bog down in the valley, oh. Ho, roll the rattlin' bog down in the valley, oh. Ho, roll the rattlin' bog down in the valley, oh. Ho, roll the rattlin' bog down in the valley, oh.
You'll find a link to Eve Waters' website on the Spark page at WMRA.org. The Spark is a joint production of the WMRA Land Community and the staff of WMRA Public Radio.
The Sparks theme music is supplied by the Avant-Gardeners of Albemarle County. Terry Ward is our web wrangler. Thanks to Bob, Matt, and Terry for their help, and special thanks to Paul Helbert for letting me know about his son, Eli. You got any sons or daughters I should know about? Please sing their praises through the Spark page at WMRA.org. I'm Martha Woodruff. It's been a great pleasure to be with you.